show our love for the law that he has given us and our appreciation for the grace by which he saves us. It's always a privilege when we can consider things that are spiritual and heavenly and that bring us closer to God and hopefully bring us to have a clearer understanding of his will for us and our concept concerning his desires for us in this world. So again, we thank you for being here tonight, especially if you're visiting with us. There's a lot of confusion about the Christian's responsibility to the law of God in the religious world today. On the one hand, most of us recognize, most people who claim to be Christians recognize, that we're not saved by keeping law, because we don't keep law perfectly. We don't keep it in such a way that pleases God fully. And even if you did keep all the law, you really wouldn't be, as I was telling our Bible class this morning in the young adult class, if you kept the law perfectly, if God gave us a bunch of rules and we kept all of that perfectly like in the Old Testament, we did everything that that it said to do exactly like Jesus did, in that case, we wouldn't actually need to be saved anyway. You know, if you don't violate the law, you don't need to be saved. So the idea of being saved by the law is completely ruled out to begin with. Nobody keeps the law. And if you kept it, you wouldn't need salvation. So salvation by law is not a thing that happens. It just doesn't happen. And the Bible is very clear about that. On the other hand, those who don't keep the law aren't going to be saved. Now, this is a real oversimplification. But I think that here is a problem in the religious world today where so many people are grappling with what I'm going to call a dilemma between you don't have to keep God's law to be saved on the one hand. On the other hand, if you don't keep it, you're not saved. You're lost. And so where's the solution to that? You see the problem? There's a problem as you look at Scripture. And a lot of great thinkers and people with minds who are a lot sharper than mine have tried to reconcile this dilemma over the centuries. And by and large, when people do that, they are going to misappropriate Scripture and misunderstand God's will concerning His law and wind up with attitudes toward either the law, which are inaccurate, or sin, which are inaccurate, or grace, which are inaccurate. And so what I'd like to do tonight is just talk about how that only God in His wisdom can solve this very impossible dilemma. You know, the question that's on the screen is, you know, when you think about God's law, you know, we're condemned if we do. The Bible is going to say, if you try to be justified by the law, it's not going to work. Can't be justified by the law. So if that's what you're trying to do, you're not going to be set, you're not going to be justified that way. On the other hand, if you don't keep the law, you're for sure not going to be justified. So you see the dilemma. And only God in His wisdom can work this out for us. The things I'll be talking about, as I said, people have tried to make very complex. They've tried to come up with all sorts of, you know, theological systems to explain how all of this works. I'm going to be very simple because I think the truth is very simple when it comes to these things. And we won't near touch everything that could be said about some of these concepts tonight, and its lesson won't be that long, I promise. But we're just going to touch on some very simple truths and look at how God reconciles all of this. To begin with, this point, I've already made these points, but we're going to look at Scripture now about them. Keeping law will not save. The law of Moses seems to have been designed to demonstrate that fact to mankind. That's one of the points of the law of Moses. A lot of New Testament Scripture on this, I believe, but we'll notice Galatians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11, where the Apostle Paul says that as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So if you're trying to do the works of the Old Testament law of Moses, you're under a curse, and the reason is, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you don't do everything that's in the law of the Old Testament, if you were living under it, you'd be cursed. And he goes on to say, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, of course, he's working to make a point here that the just are going to be justified by grace through faith. But what I want you to notice is the first line of verse 11. That no one is justified by the law. Nobody's justified by the law. Can't be justified by the law. I don't know of very many people today who would claim that they could be. I think in times gone by, there may have been people who had this idea of you have to live, you know, this sinlessly perfect life. And even still today, among some of the Jews, you might have noticed in the little fable that I read this morning, the particular person that the fable was about, Bansha, was supposed to be ushered into paradise because apparently he lived this perfect life, you see. But that didn't happen. That's not the way it happens. James chapter 2 and verse 10, James says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So keeping law doesn't save, keeping law doesn't justify. All are guilty of sin or lawlessness. Even those who didn't live under the law of Moses and were not amenable to the law of Moses, and that would be all of us today, and a whole lot of people who lived before the time of Christ, were not under the law of Moses because it was only given to Israelites. But even those who were not under the law of Moses and failed to keep God's law, going all the way back to Adam and Eve and continuing on through human history, every accountable person who has ever lived is still guilty of sin, except for Jesus Christ. So in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. Death didn't spread to all men, and you know, the Calvinist wants to add all sinned in Adam, but that's not what the text says. And that's not what Paul's saying. He's not saying, you know, death spread to all men because, you know, we all inherit Adam's sin. In fact, he says exactly the opposite in this very verse. Death spread to all men, not because we all inherit Adam's sin, but because we all sin. That's why death spread to all men. And so we're all responsible for the fact that we didn't meet the standards of law. Adam and Eve were under law. People from all time have been under law to God. God gave a special law to the Israelites through Moses. But still, all men everywhere are responsible to God. And from Adam onward, people sinned. Everybody sinned. Even those way before the law came, before the law of Moses came. They were under a law still to God, and they broke it. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, we learn that sin is, in essence, the transgression of law. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And some translations there say the transgression of law. So keeping law is not going to save us. Lawbreakers, the other point is, and the point that's going to lead to our dilemma, lawbreakers are going to be lost. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, and talks about many were going to say to him on the judgment day, you know, didn't we do many mighty works in your name and cast out demons in your name and so on and so forth. And in Matthew 7:23, he responds by saying, then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We all need to focus in on this. Lawbreakers, those who don't live according to the law, are condemned. Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you practiced lawlessness. Lawbreakers are going to be lost. So you can't be saved by law, or you can't keep it, or you don't keep it. And then everybody that doesn't keep law is going to be lost. Kind of puts us in a bad position, doesn't it? Jesus says very plainly in his teaching, this is our Lord speaking, that these folks who have broken law are going to be gathered out of his kingdom and thrown into fire. In the parable of the tares that you'll remember from Matthew chapter 13, Jesus, starting in verse 24, talks about the kingdom of heaven, you know, is like this man that sows the good seed in the field. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said, "Well, do you want us to go then and gather them up?" And he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you uproot the wheat also. But let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them in the fire, but gather the wheat into my barn." And then later in the chapter, of course, Jesus explains the parable of the tares. "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man," verse 37. "The field is the word, is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age." Now here's this point. Listen carefully. "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness." And in that particular passage, the ESV reads this way, English Standard Version. "They will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all law breakers." All law breakers. It's a frightening passage. The Greek word there is anomia. Nomia is law. Nomos is law. Ah is the absence of that. You don't have law for what you're doing. You've broken law. And you're cast into the fire. Most of us, as we read our New Testaments, we think about people who are trying to be saved by law keeping. If I were to ask you, why were the Pharisees condemned? What's the short answer to that? I'll tell you this. Most people in the religious world today will tell you that the Pharisees were condemned because they were legalists, a word the Bible does not use. But they will tell you that the Pharisees were condemned because they were legalists, meaning that they were in the first category of folks that we talked about. They were folks who were trying to be justified by perfect law keeping. And that Jesus condemned them because they were trying to be justified by perfect law keeping. I'd like you to show me the passage where Jesus ever condemned anybody for trying to keep the law, let alone the Pharisees. It's not in there. Let me show you what the Pharisees were condemned for. Can you turn over to Matthew 23 with me? Matthew 23 and verse 28, you know, Jesus is using this illustration. They're really condemned for hypocrisy is the main thing, over and over again. But in this text in Matthew 23, where Jesus pronounces a number of woes on the scribes and Pharisees and illustrates in a number of ways, specifies in a number of ways exactly how it is that they'd sinned, what their problem was, why they were being condemned. Look what he says. Matthew 23:28. "Even so, you outwardly, you Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Same word that was translated law-breaking. See, the Pharisees aren't condemned for law-keeping. They're condemned for law-breaking. Isn't that what Jesus says? For lawlessness. You're not condemned, Pharisees, because you keep the law so good, or because you're trying to keep the law so good. You're condemned because you broke the law. Because you're not keeping the law. The hypocrisy came in where they told people, they knew what the law said, and they told people what they ought to be doing. The teaching of the Pharisees to keep the law, though that teaching to the people was good. And I'm not the only one. You know, Jesus is the one that says that in Matthew 23, earlier in this text, in verses 2 and 3. Jesus said that the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, therefore whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. What were they telling people to observe? The law. Every last single solitary bit of it. And Jesus says, they're telling you to do the law. You know what? You need to do what they say. Because they're sitting on Moses' seat. You need to keep the law. Do it and observe it, but do not do according to their works. What's their problem? They say and do not. They're hypocrites. That's what they're being condemned for. Not for doing the law, but for not doing the law. Not for insisting that the law be done, but for not doing what they insisted on. Now, all of that still leaves us with our dilemma, doesn't it? Not going to be saved by doing the law. And if you don't do the law, you're going to be lost. You're condemned if you do and condemned if you don't, as the old saying goes. So that just leaves us all condemned, is what that does. How can this dilemma be solved? It has led to untold religious error. People trying to reconcile this problem. Some have made the mistake of saying, well, you know, God's law is just bad. We hate law. If you talk about, you talk to people, I have this conversation all the time with folks in the denominational world of people I meet, you start talking about, well, keeping commandments and here's what God said to do. And they'll say, oh, you're just one of those. You're a legalist and you believe in law keeping and that law is bad. The law is death, they'll say. Hold on a minute. Romans 7 and verse 12. You know, despite Paul's description of the Old Testament law and the fact that it confined all of the Israelites under sin. And despite the fact that Paul himself struggled mightily under the law, he didn't hate it. He didn't say it was bad. In fact, in Romans 7 and verse 12, he says, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Paul's problem isn't with the law. I mean, he's not keeping it like he wants to in Romans 7, but the law is not the problem. Paul is the problem, if you will, as he visions himself under the law. And in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, he says, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. The law is good, he says. So you can't hate the law. It's good. The law is not bad. It's good. Some have denied that Christians are under law of any kind. Well, if I can't hate the law, I'm just going to say God's done away with all law for Christians, and really we're not under any law whatsoever. And what people with this view do is that they misuse Bible teaching, which is meant to show us that we are not under the law of Moses, nor are we under a system of law in which salvation is based on law keeping, because there could be no such system of law. As we've already said, you wouldn't need salvation. And there are several such scriptures that teach that we're not under the law of Moses, or we're not under some system of law by which salvation comes. A lot of passages that teach that, especially concerning the law of Moses, particularly in Romans and in Galatians. Galatians 3, 24 and 25, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We're no longer under, what's he talking about? The Old Testament law. That's what he's talking about. Romans 7 and verse 6, we're in Romans 7 a minute ago, and Paul in Romans 7 is talking about that we're dead to the law. He says we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Again, he's talking there about the Old Testament law. But that's a far cry from saying, as again some denominationalists and even a lot of people in the Lord's church now are saying, well, we're just not really under law today. No, we're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under a system based on just law keeping. But we are certainly under law. Certainly. How do we solve all of this? Not by the ways we just talked about. Those are wholly inadequate and won't work. Here's how we solve it. Start by deciding you're going to live under the law of Christ. Christ brought both grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but Christ brought grace and truth. That's what John says in John 1, 15 through 18. And truth involves doing what's right. Truth involves God's will. There's a law of Christ to live by. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 20, Paul talks about his relationship to the Jews and Gentiles in his work. He says, as a Jew, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. What's he saying? There were those Jews who were living under the law of Moses. There were Gentiles who were not living under the law of Moses. Paul says, you know what? I can be like a Jew and get with them, and I can be like a Gentile and get with them, but I'm always under law to Christ. I'm not without law. I'm under law to Christ. The law of Christ is in accordance with the gospel of Christ. Look in your Bibles with me, just briefly, at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is one of those passages that, instead of looking all of this stuff in Romans and Galatians, apparently, that a lot of my brethren can't understand, even after you explain it to them, what somebody needs to do is go over and read 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11, and try to wrap their head around this. Here's what Paul says. We know that the law is good. What? The law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Did he say was not made? No, he said is. He's talking about a law that he's living under. The law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, if there's any other thing contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. You realize that all of that law that is mentioned in that passage is part of the gospel. It's according to the gospel. Now, if you're not committing those sins, you don't have to worry about those laws. That's basically what he's saying. Law is not for the righteous person, but that law is part of the gospel. It is good. It is good, and it's part of the gospel. So my obligation is to live under the law of Christ. Whatever Christ has asked me to do. Am I always going to do that? No. If we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. John talking to Christians, 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. So we're not always going to do. So still, well, doesn't that get me back to the dilemma that I started with? No, it doesn't. Because under Christ, what we have is blood to redeem us from our sins. From every lawless deed. Listen to the way it's put in these passages. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Pay the price for it. cover it with His blood. That's the only resolution to this problem. It's the only possible way to solve the dilemma. You do what you can under the law of Christ, to live by the law of Christ, and rely on His blood to redeem you from every lawless deed that you commit. And of course, that requires meeting whatever God's conditions are for having that blood applied to your life, which in the case of, if you're already a Christian, is to turn away from that sin, confess and pray for forgiveness. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Notice the lawless deeds are forgiven. That's us under the new covenant. In the new covenant, the Lord promises in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So here's what's going to happen. Every last man, woman, and child in this room is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to be able to stand there and say, look at all the wonderful things I did and the perfect life that I lived. God will remember all that you've done, except for the lawless deeds that have been blotted out by the blood of Christ. And I want to be able to stand there and say, not that I always kept the law, but I loved the law, and I tried to keep it. And everything else, Lord, only plea is the blood of Jesus. Isn't that such a simple resolution? What theologians have just wrestled with and grappled with for so long. How simple. But I want to leave you tonight with this thought, and I appreciate the songs that were led, songs about grace and songs about loving the law. Did you notice that? Because this has to all come together. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Those two concepts melded together in our hearts, that's where we must live. I need salvation. I long for salvation. But I love God's law. It is truly my delight. That's what he's saying. I'm begging my brethren, not just here, but especially, you know, so many who have allowed ideas of Calvinism to influence their thinking on this point. I'm begging denominational friends who are just absolutely confused on all of this, I'm begging you to love the law of God. Love it. To strive with all of your might. And yet to realize that we live under a system of grace where God sent His only begotten Son, whose blood will cover and redeem us from every lawless deed. And if that blood is not covering your life tonight, make provision. Meet His conditions. If you're not a Christian, come and forward, name the name of Jesus. Repent of sin. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And be saved from this horrible dilemma that humankind is in. We'd ask you to come while we stand up.